religious tradition and philosophy has an origin story. How everything got its start, how the universe got its start. This is the Taoist origin story. It's derived from the treatise on Tai Chi Chuan that was written in the 18th century. In the beginning, there was a void, and the void was stillness. The void was both nothing and everything, but was undifferentiated. It is when motion occurred that the cosmos was formed. It is the differentiation between stillness and motion that defined the cosmos. This differentiation is what is called yin and yang. Because of motion, there is qi, energy or life force. Because of stillness, the energy of the cosmos coalesced to form particles that form everything that is life. And the wholeness of everything is the Tao. The Tao, which means the way, denotes the principle that is the source and pattern and substance of everything that exists. And the philosophy of Taoism, the guide of the way to live your life, instructs us on how we should live in harmony with the Tao. The Tao has been described as that which is natural, spontaneous, eternal, nameless, and indescribable. I love describing things as indescribable. It is at once the beginning of all things and the way in which all things pursue their course. You may have noticed that the sermon is split into two parts this Sunday, and in the first part of this sermon, I want to summarize some of the main points of Taoism. Taoism is a form of mysticism that emphasizes harmonizing our actions with the natural order of the cosmos. In Taoism, humans are perceived to be a part of that natural order, not the rulers of it, but a part of it. And it is when we lose our connection to natural systems, is when we can cause damage to ourselves, to other beings, and to the systems itself. As Ginny read in the intro on the Tao Te Ching, we study the natural order of things and work with it rather than against it. For to try to change what is only sets up resistance. So how do we harmonize with the natural order of things? One of the first concepts in Taoism is simplicity. Things in their natural state have their own power. And this power is lost when we complicate things or try to control them or break them into pieces so they're easier for us to control. Don't try to put a round peg in a square hole. Let all things, including yourself, follow their inner nature. Another important concept in Taoism is Wu Wei, which is Chinese for action, non-action. Wu action, Wei non-action. Sometimes defined as not striving or non-striving. This is the idea that we can be in harmony by going with the flow rather than disrupting the natural processes. And water is the example that's often used in Taoism to understand this principle. Water flows over rocks, it flows into small spaces, it moves in response to its environment, and yet it can wear down rocks and forge riverbeds. Water does not resist a barrier, but rather moves around it. Another important concept in Taoism is balance. And here's where we bring in this idea of the yin and the yang, which I imagine some of you have familiarity with. In the concept of the yin, oh, and the picture on the order of service is the picture that's normally presented as the yin and the yang. In the concept of the yin and the yang, the whole is defined by these opposites, such as in the idea of it is emptiness that creates shape. Or you can only understand the idea of soft if you know what hard is. Stillness only makes sense if you appreciate motion. In the yin and the yang, these opposites define and sustain each other, forming a whole that is greater than its parts. Yin energy is associated with the feminine, with quiet, darkness, wetness, passivity. Yang is associated with masculinity, dryness, activity, and heat. Note that neither the yin or the yang is seen as primary or better than the other. It is the opposite nature of yin and yang that make up the same whole, and it is their opposites that sustain and balance so that unity can be present. To further explore some of these ideas, and I'm going to explore them in a couple of different ways, I want to turn to an embodiment of Taoism. That is Tai Chi Chuan and his sister practice, Qigong. The word Qigong, two words, Qi means life force, the energy of the universe, the energy that flows through all of us. And Gong means work or practice. Qigong is a form of meditation, movement, and breathing. It can be done on its own, but it is also done as a companion for Tai Chi practice. Through breath and movement, you can bring yourself into harmony with all by connecting the internal energy, your qi, with the external energy, the qi of the cosmos. Both practices recognize energy gates in the body where qi flows, but can often get stuck because of the way we carry ourselves, because of tension or illness. And the practices help the qi to flow more freely. If you have ever had acupuncture, you'll understand the nature of releasing the qi and letting the qi flow. I'm delighted that John McMillan, a member of our congregation and a longtime practitioner of Tai Chi, is going to do a demonstration for us today. John offers a beginner session of Qigong and Tai Chi on the second Sunday of the month at 9:45 before the church as part of our Sunday morning spiritual practices. I encourage you to join him on one of the second Sundays. Tai Chi is formerly called Tai Chi Chuan. Tai Chi meaning source, and Chuan is the Chinese symbol for fist, signifying that Tai Chi is considered a martial art. You may not have an appreciation for the martial art aspect of Tai Chi if you're used to seeing the swirly, swoopy part of it, but indeed, it is a martial art. And Tai Chi practice embodies the Taoist principles of the yin and the yang. The movements are soft and flowing, but there's an essential hardness inside. When you practice Tai Chi, you are still but energized. You are relaxed but aware and connected. Tai Chi also embodies the principles of Wu Wei, or non-action. And this is where the self-defense aspect of Tai Chi comes into play. When using Tai Chi for self-defense, you do not match force with force, but rather you feel the energy that is coming from your opponent and redirect it. You use the flexibility of your body to move, to fill in the spaces that are available to you, just like water flowing around a rock. And then you can use the energy of your opponent to redirect to put yourself in a more favorable position. John and I are going to demonstrate this technique now. In Tai Chi, it's called push hands. And the practice is done with a partner so that you can learn where the partner, you can anticipate the partner's moves and sense their energy. So let me walk you through our practice here. Get my microphone on. So we're going to do three circles and sensing each other's energy as it flows. And then I'm going to attack by pushing into John's center, and he's going to redirect. And then we go back around, I redirect, and then lower, push lower, and he, see how he moves his body out like water. Come back to the center again. And then I'm going to push up to his head, and he just moves and redirects that energy around. Thank you. So now
We're going to have a demonstration of Tai Chi by a true black sash practitioner, yes. Please appreciate the movements and think about the concepts of yin and yang and wu wei as John demonstrates from the Tai Chi form, the 108 form. The 108 has 108 different postures. It takes about 25 minutes to perform, but he has graciously agreed to pull out the highlights for your appreciation this morning.
I'm mindful that when we consider aspects of a religion or philosophy from a different culture, that we must approach with humility. Most of us are not Chinese or have experience with Chinese culture, though some of you, I imagine, do. What I've shared with you so far and what I will share with you in the second half of this sermon is just a small portion of the rich traditions around Taoism. And we should approach these ideas of a religion from another culture with openness and curiosity. The Tao Te Ching was written more than 2,500 years ago in another time and in a culture very different from ours. And yet it's one of the most translated works in the world. So what can this philosophy offer us here in the 21st century? The first concept that I want to lift up, one that I think is important to me and to Western culture overall, is the idea of simplicity. Now, I have to say that with irony because I worked very hard on this sermon. I worried a lot that I wouldn't be able to explain it to you in a way that was meaningful. So I sort of countered the idea of simplicity in the way I approach this sermon, but I hope I will achieve some of it as we go forward. But I want to ask you to do me a favor, and don't try too hard to understand what I'm saying to you. Just let it rest in you. Whatever has meaning for you will stay with you, and whatever doesn't, won't, or may come back again in another form, in another time. So reading from the Tao Te Ching, filling your cup until it overflows is not as good as stopping in time. Oversharpen your sword and it will not protect you very long. You may fill your halls with gold and jewels, but you cannot keep them safe. Being rich or highly esteemed and proud will only bring you trouble. When you have done a good job, rest. That is the way of heaven. Simplicity is not as easy as it sounds in our world. Humans have this way of making things very complicated. We analyze, we opine, deconstruct, destroy, change by our very engagement and reflection on things. And we underestimate the power of simplicity. Finding the space just to be, finding a way to connect by letting things come to you. Many of us have our lives and calendars so full, we barely have time to sit and take a deep breath. And when we do sit and take a deep breath, we're engaged with whatever interesting thing may be coming across our phone at that moment. There was a story that came out of some of my readings that I appreciated about a Chinese emperor thousands of years ago who was scheduled every minute of every day, always had to be on, presenting himself in a regal way. And on one particular day, his assistants took him out to a big pavilion, a big grand meeting hall space, and walked in, and there was no one there. The emperor looked around and took a deep breath and turned to his assistants and says, "This is my favorite meeting today. Let's schedule more of these." Another reading from the Tao Te Ching. The sage is occupied with the unspoken and acts without effort, teaching without verbosity, producing without possessing, creating without regard to result. The sage has nothing to lose. This idea of not doing is the Wu Wei that I mentioned in the first part of the service. Action, non-action. For many of us who don't really know how to relax, the idea of non-action feels like being a lump, doing nothing. And actually, Wu Wei simply means the opposite. It's a different form of doing. Many of us are familiar with a particular form of doing, such as meddling, such as bringing our ego into any kind of action that we're doing. Maybe some of you are familiar with the way of doing that is controlling, thinking that you might know the best way that something needs to unfold. Or perhaps some of you are familiar with the concept of codependency, wanting so much for something to be a certain way that you actually block that thing's ability to unfold as it might. When I was thinking about this idea of Wu Wei and not doing, I started feeling like maybe this is something for people of privilege. Maybe those of us who have the time and the money and the space in our lives can contemplate the Wu Wei, the not doing aspects. And then I heard something on National Public Radio about a young man, African-American young man, talking about the things that his mother taught him. His mother taught him not to focus on the people who hate you, not to focus on the people who want to block you, not to focus on those who have a concept of things that you can't do, but to find a way to focus on what you can do, to walk into those places where you are valued, or slip into places where there is space for you. Find the openings that allow you to move forward. That sounds like Wu Wei to me. I think of Gandhi, who approached the British dominance in India by quietly confronting them, slipping in his silent, non-violent approach until their awareness and shame of how they'd been treating the Indian people forced them to retreat. The Tao Te Ching says, the highest good is like water. Water gives life to 10,000 things and does not strive. It flows in the places humans reject, and so is like the Tao. In our world today, it's hard to imagine how Wu Wei can have a play. We're into resistance now. Aren't we into resistance? Resistance? Maybe we need to take that energy that we have of reacting to every terrible thing that comes across the media, every terrible thing that shows up in our Facebook posts, and find the ways to flow into the spaces that make a difference. People are saying now that local efforts are the ones that are going to change everything. Encouraging someone to vote, running for office, changing at the local level. Maybe kindness is a way of countering what's going on in our world. Maybe kindness and compassion are a way of resisting. In a service last year, I talked about the idea of a conga line through chaos, dealing with our world and all the chaos. Instead of reacting to everything, instead of resisting everything, maybe just finding that way to be like water and flow where there's spaces and possibilities. Bringing love and compassion, moving energy in a positive direction, rather than using up all our power in resisting. The Tao says, yield and overcome, bend and be straight. Empty and be full, wear out and be new, have little and gain, have much and be confused. This is the concept of yin and yang, opposing forces that sustain the whole, these opposites that define each other. A concept that can, I think, be refreshing for us in this time of polarization. Right now, Many in leadership are busy othering, blaming, making them not us. Those people, those immigrants, they're the problem. The media is the problem, separating out so that there's the us and there's the them. This is the concept of good and evil, this duality of there's two ways, you're either good or you're evil. But the truth is, there's a little bit of good and evil, and there's a little bit of evil and good. This is the dynamic that keeps the whole and keeps us balanced. Our country has been obsessed with this idea of classifying people around race, and I think the yin and the yang helps us bring that. I was watching a genealogy show, and there was a man over the time of his life from the early 20th century to when he died in the 80s, had been classified first as black, and then as white, and then as black, and then as white. And the reality was that he had ancestors on both sides. But we can't hold that. We need to find a box to fit somebody in. The census now has so many classifications for race, and yet what do you do if you're four of them all in one? I know people who check every box just to disrupt the system and to recognize that it's not an either or, but perhaps it's a both and. We're dealing with that now in gender. We're so used to this idea of male and female, and yet the truth is really somewhere in between, and some folks that are coming out and representing themselves as non-binary, as neither male nor female, are challenging this idea that it has to be one or the other, when the reality is that feminine qualities are found in male-identified people, and qualities that are normally considered male are found in female-identified people. This is the reality that we need to be with now as our world becomes more diverse. And not only accept it, but praise it as this dynamic of yin and yang that will help create wholeness and balance in our world. The Tao says, be aware of the obvious, the light, but keep to the mysterious, the dark. And set an example for the world. Be an example for the world, and do not stray from your calling. And you will return to the eternal. Do not stray from your calling. We use this term a lot in ministry. Ministers say they are called, partly to justify the amount of money we spend to go to seminary and all that we have to go through to get there. But it is true that there is a calling in ministry, a feeling that this is the work that you were meant to do. And many of you have found that in the work that you do as well. To deal with our challenges in our world today, rather than try and solve all the problems, rather than take on all the problems, I have encouraged you for the past couple of years to find that thing that calls you and dedicate yourself to that. Kathy and Jerry are called by the Mercy Peddlers and have dedicated themselves to reaching the homeless where they live. Some of our folks are dedicated to helping refugees. Find what calls you. The theologian Howard Thurman says, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive. Because what the world needs is more people who have come alive. That is the Tao. Fully and completely. The Tao says, the Tao is like an empty pitcher, poured from but never drained. Infinitely deep, it is the source of all things. It blunts the sharp, unties the knotted, shades the bright, and unites with all dust. Dimly seen, yet eternally present. I believe we have a concept in Unitarian Universalism that relates to this idea of the Tao, the oneness, and that is our interdependent web of all existence. Bringing this concept of the Tao, I believe, energizes and expands our idea of this web. We know in our UU theology that The seventh principle of respect for the interdependent web of all existence is one of radical relationship, one of recognizing how our behavior affects every other being and all the systems that we are in. The Tao enriches this because it is both the web, it is the source, it is the connection, the strands and the substance. But it is also the practice that brings us into relationship with all beings. I'm going to be exploring this idea myself, and I hope it challenged you to find substance in our concept of our web as the Tao itself. But for my part, my takeaway is I'm going to try to practice simplicity. And I'm going to start that practice here and now with gratitude, a very simple act. Gratitude for this community and for the privilege of sharing my thoughts with you. Gratitude is a very simple feeling, but it contains all the connections that I feel with you, with all the sages who have brought forth these ideas of Taoism, and with the unity of the oneness that is our web. And my takeaway for today is also to continue my practice of Tai Chi, now with a deeper appreciation and connection. Tai Chi is the antidote to all that ails me. It's the practice that connects me with everything, the yin and the yang and the wu and the wei. For me, Tai Chi is a different kind of try. It is a different form of knowing, where I practice stillness, movement, flow, breath, balance, where I use my body, my mind, and my spirit to be one with the life force and one with the Tao. May you find that connection as you go forth.